जया राधा माधव कुंज विहारे Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraj Agacharya Ashtotar Sutasushi Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraj Agacharya Ashtotar Sutasushi Madhis Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Iskon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantara Shiman Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaura Premanand. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishiguru and Shigoranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 6, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Text number 1, all the way, I think, to text number 4. Sri Sukha Uvacha Evan Stutta Suraganair Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Teshan Abhirabhutrajam Sahasrako Dajadyutu Dviti Sri Sukha Uvacha Evan Stutta Suraganair Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha Teshan Abhirubhut Rajan Sahasra Kodaya Dviti Evan Stutta Suraganair Bhagavan Harir Ishwaraha Teshan Abhirubhut Rajan Sahasrar Kodaya Dviti. Please chant.
Thank you.
Sri Sukha Uvacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, in this way, Stutaha, being worshipped by prayers, Suraganai, by the demigods, Bhagavam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Harihi, the vanquisher of all inauspiciousness, Ishwaraha, the Supreme Controller, Tesham, in front of Lord Brahma and all the demigods, Abhiraput, appear there, Rajam, O King Parikshit, Sahasra of thousands, Arka of sons, Udaya like the rising, Dyutihi, his effulgence. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appear before them. His bodily effulgence resemble the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns. Text number 2. Tenaiva sahasa sarve deva pratihate shanaha napashyam kam disha kaushin atmanancha kuto vibhum. Translation. The vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus, they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, not even themselves, what to speak of seeing the Lord, who is present before them. Text number 3-7. Virincho Bhagavan Drishta Sahasarve Natam Tanum Swachan Mara Kata Shyamam Kanja Garbharunekshanam Tapta Hema Vadatena Lashat Kausheya Kya Lashat Kausheya Vasasa Prasanan Charu Sarvangin Samukhin Sundara Brubham Mahamani Kiretena Keyura Bhyanchabushitam Karnavara Nanirbhata Kapola Sri Mukhambujam Kanchikalla Pavalaja Haranu Parnupura Shobitam Kaushtava Varanam Lakshmin Bibratim Banamalinim Sudarshana Biswa Swastrair Murtima Bhir Upashitam Tushtavadeva Pravara Sasarva Purushampara Savamara Ganaishakam Savangair Avaningatai. Translation. Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Marakata gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depth of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful, smiling lotus-like face, crowned with a helmet bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt of the Lord, of the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle belts on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands. His neck is decorated with a Kostuva gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons, like the disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus saw the form of the Lord, they immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances. Text number 8. Sri Brahma Ubacha Ajata Jammasti No Ajata Jammastiti Sanjamaya Guna Janirvana Sukha Sukarnavaya Anor Anime Pariganyat Anor Anime Paraganya Damne Mahanubhava Janamos Namaste. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease, you are always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer a respectful obeisance unto you, Supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ayopi shan abhyayatma bhutanan ishvaro pisam prakitim swam adishtaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. Quote, although I am born, I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. In the following verse in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhava divarata abhyuktanam adharmasya tadatmanam sreyamyaham. Quote. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practices, O descendant of Bharat, and the predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. End of quote. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, there is no cessation to his appearance in different forms as incarnations, like Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. Since his incarnations are eternal, the various activities performed by this incarnation are also eternal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear because he is forced to do so by karma, like ordinary living entities, who are forced to accept a certain type of body. It is to be understood that the Lord's body and activities are all transcendental, being free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. These pastimes are transcendental bliss to the Lord. The word apariganya damne is very significant. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations, and all these incarnations are eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashityade Satarine Bancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So the beginning of a new chapter in this wonderful story is going to get very exciting as it goes. But very important principle that is established, well, that is basically the essence of all transcendental knowledge. That is to understand the position of Krishna as the absolute truth. Vedanta survives. What is it again? Vedanta survives. That by the Vedas I am to be known. Krishna explains that. That's the essence of the Vedas. So, to understand the personal feature of the Lord. And there is in this in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, it is very clear depicted. In the Vedic scriptures, although it's perfectly depicted and explained, sometimes that truth is a little cover, is not perfectly clear, especially for those who are not fully realized. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, under the instructions of Narada Muni, compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to make it perfectly clear. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no way to go. It is completely understood Krishna's position as the absolute truth, the personal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of everything. So now, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the commentary or the explanations of all the Vedas, specifically the explanation of the Vedanta Sutras by the author of the Vedas himself. So he gives basically the Srimad Bhagavatam is the purport of all the Vedas. So the author himself is explaining the meaning or the essence of the Vedas, and that's the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the particular narration, after the beautiful prayers offered by Lord Brahma on behalf of the demigods that are sitting in the shore at the shore of the milk ocean, offering prayers to the Lord, then the Lord manifested himself. When the Lord manifested himself, the first experience that the devotees, the demigods, had was this glaring effulgence that they couldn't see any, they even couldn't see himself. The explanation is that imagine 1,000 suns rising at the same time. Sometimes we have that experience that you look at the sun directly and then you get all blinded. In fact, I remember as a child, one is told not to look directly at the sun, right? Because apparently have some bad effect. I never understood what was it, you know, so I always sort of try just to see. What. And then indeed, you get sort of blinded, you know. Now, imagine 1,000 suns just rising at the same time. And that's just to give you an idea. So the first experience that the demigods had is is this blinding effulgence. And indeed, in general, that's the first experience that one have of the absolute truth. It is explained that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shita Goswami explains that Vedanti Tattvam Vidas, that those who are very knowledgeable, the Vedantis, those who know the Vedas, the knowers of the Vedas, they understand the absolute truth, but what is it? Vedanti Tattvatyagina. No. But that's at the end. But the verse that says Brahmeti Parabhanmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. That it basically says that those who knows the Vedas, they understand the absolute truth in three different aspects: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And the Brahman is the effulgence of the Lord, Paramatma is a localized aspect of the Lord, and Bhagavan is a personal aspect of the Lord. Now, the Lord is explained to be as Sachit Ananda. Sachit Ananda Vigraha is the full manifestation of the Lord. So the word Sat means eternity. Chit means knowledge, full of knowledge. And Ananda means bliss. So when one comes to fully realize the Sat feature of the Lord, one realizes the Brahman, or the energy, the effulgence of the Lord. But it's incomplete because one doesn't have perfect knowledge, nor one is experiencing the blissful feature of the absolute truth, or existence, the blissful feature of existence. So one is experiencing only the sad feature of the absolute truth. And then, if you go further and realize the shit feature of the Lord, then that is Paramatma realization. So you have an understanding of, now it becomes more a personal, but not fully. Once one realizes the Paramatma feature, that the Supreme Lord is localized in your heart, in everyone's heart, and also in all the atoms, then that is the feature of knowledge. But from there, then it comes the realization of the full, the Ananda feature. So the blissful feature is when you realize the personality of Godhead, the Bhagavan feature. So that is a complete. In the Bhagavan realization, then you experience all the three aspects of the Lord, Sachit Ananda, complete. So the other features are incomplete. And so it is very important, the scriptures tell us, specifically I'm thinking specifically of the Sri Upanishad. In the Sri Upanishad, it is explained that in text number 14, the mantra 14, says that we have to come to understand not only to fully understand not only the spiritual features of the Lord, to understand, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all his energies, but as well we also have to understand his creation that comprises all the demigods and living entities and his material potencies. And when one have that full understanding of these two things, and one can actually transcend this material world. And so transcendental knowledge means understanding the personality of Godhead as the origin of everything, and as well what is the position, our position, and the position of this material world in relationship with the personality of Godhead. So that is what we receive in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a perfect understanding of what is Krishna's position, what is the position of the demigods, what is the position of the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and what is our position, the living entity. And beautifully in verse, in mantra 15 and 16, I'm going to read it. Looking here. They're very famous. I think Nityananda Prana Prabhu quoted it when he gave the class the other day, that the prayer is for the Lord to remove his glaring effulgence so the devotee can see his beautiful face. So mantra 15 goes like this: O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, O my Lord, sustainer of all that live, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. And mantra 16: O my Lord, all primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, all regulated principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove your effulgence, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays, so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal, supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. So the Lord is compared to the sun, and just as the sun is basically spreading his energy throughout the universe, and through the universe is maintained by the sun, that energy of the sun that basically pervades the whole universe. Similarly, it is explained that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, that effulgence that emanates from him is actually the resting place of all the creation, both spiritual and material. And also it is explained that that we are also part of that energy, just like the light particles are contained within the rays of the sun, within the energies of the sun. And each of one of these light particles are individuals. Although it's experiencing as a full energy, you can actually have individual particles. So similarly, every living entity is a particle of this effulgence of the Lord, this spiritual effulgence of the Lord, that it pervades the whole spiritual and material creation. So, so it is Krishna, the origin, It is Krishna the source. And this has to be acknowledged, and this has to be understood in order to be able to experience the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. And it is explained that when the demigods, the first experience that they have of the darshan of the Lord was this effulgence. And then it is said that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma were able to see crystal clear. So tell us the position, the special position of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, that you have to be a devotee, a very advanced devotee, to be able to see, to be able to go through the effulgence and be able to see. Like it is said here, the Lord will remove his dazzling effulgence and show his beautiful face to the pure devotees. So there was another instance narrated in the Mahabharata in which Krishna actually manifested his universal form that was covered by this dazzling effulgence. And that was in the court of the Kurus, when Lord Krishna went as the messenger of peace, Shantidut, or what? Oh, no, there's a term that it was used. He came with a message from the Pandavas that to the Kurus that, okay, let's avoid war. There's no need for you to give the Pandavas half of the kingdom. Just give them 5 villages so they can rule 5 villages. So Krishna was doing a compromising to avoid war. He was coming with this offer. And then Duryodhana was so arrogant and so demoniac that he says he refused to give 5 villages to the Pandavas. Actually, he says, I won't even give them the amount of land that they can actually put a pin into. Not even that much I will give them. So Krishna says, well, so, you know, Krishna chastised Duryodhana and, you know, call him, you know, a foolish person, and to be so arrogant and so blinded that he was so bent to destroy his whole, you know, dynasty. So Duryodhana immediately asked the girls to arrest Krishna, which was something that was very against, you know, all the codes of the Kshatriyas. When you have a messenger, you have to respect him. So he sent the guards to arrest Krishna. And then when the guards, you know, were coming, Krishna manifests the universal form. But that universal form was not being seen by everybody in that court, but only few were able to see that universal form. The other ones, what they saw was this glaring effulgence that they completely became blinded. And then as everybody was like trying to protect themselves from this glaring effulgence, then Bhishma Dev, Vidura, and Dronacharya, the three of them were able to see Krishna's form as the universal form. So they were able to see. The rest, including Kripacharya, including all the different kings, you know, Karna, everybody that was there, they were blinded. So one can even have darshan of that glaring effulgence, but in general, that glaring effulgence is not necessarily a particular desirable realization that the devotee will have. Actually, the devotee consider the realization and the connection with that Brahma Jyoti as very undesirable. Even, you know, Prabhupada Saraswati considers that to be hellish. He will say that that's a destination of demons. Imagine, you know, that you come to a country or a new place and you've been sent, you know, to the place where they put all the criminals. After you go through custom and, you know, like that, okay, then we're going to send you to this specific place in which we put all the criminals and demons like that. So you go to jail. That's not a very desirable thing, that you'd be very freaked out, you know, if you've been put in that situation. So the devotee absolutely doesn't desire. The demons, when they get killed by Krishna, they achieve this Brahma Jyoti liberation. So not a very desirable place for the devotees. What to speak of other situations like heaven or, you know, or a big material, you know, wonderful material situation in this world. The devotee consider that as hell. The only place that the devotee consider suitable is the lotus feet of the Lord, in which one experiences, you know, the full transcendental bliss of the relationship with the Lord. So it's a very clear understanding that that these devotees were able to experience, see the beautiful form of the Lord. And the description is exquisite. It's very beautiful. Some of you remember the descriptions of the Lord? Let's see here. Can read it again. Descriptions of his beautiful face and his dress, his jewels. Okay, here we go. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Marakata gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depth of the lotus, whose dress with garments that are yellow like the molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful, smiling lotus face, crowned with a helmet, bedecked with jewels, valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt of the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arm, the necklace on his chest, the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands. His neck is decorated with the Kostuba gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons, like this and club. One can imagine, you know, darshan of seeing Kishore Kishori, you know, like that. So it's very clear. There's nothing superior to that. The Lord, it is very, then you understand the Bhagavad Gita, then you understand the whole Vedas, things that are, you know, there in the Upanishads. Then you understand all that from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna say, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. He is the origin of the whole Brahman. And there's no truth greater than him, mata parapanam parataram nanyat. He expressed that. So that is the end of all transcendental knowledge. This Bhagavan feature. I end with this because there's a very interesting breakdown that Srila Jiva Goswami does of the word Bhagavan. I don't know if you ever heard it. Break it down by, you know, Ba, Ga, and Van. You ever heard that before? Yeah? So, the word Ba has two meanings. The first one is one who fully maintains, and the second one is the guardian. So, who fully maintains and the guardian. The second, Ga, means the guide, the leader, or the creator. And the word Van, the syllable Van, indicates that every living entity lives in him and he lives in every living entity. So so that is the personality of Godhead, the leader of all, the origin of all, and the maintainer of all, the guardian of all living entities, like that. So that is a full realization of the absolute truth. And that's what, you know, those who are in that position are able to experience, that connection, able to see face to face the personality of Godhead. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. I may not hear properly, I'm still, you know. Now I have, this one is working a little bit, this one is shut.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. My question is related to the first verse, where it mentions the Lord's name, Hari, he's the vanquisher of all things in auspiciousness. And basically my question is related to the demigods, they pray to the Lord. They pray to the Lord to remove their obstacles, the demons. And I guess how that could relate to us is that generally we also, I mean, I can speak for myself, I'm sure other devotees can, sometimes we pray that the Lord remove obstacles, or we pray that we have the perfect circumstances, perfect persons, places, things, circumstances in our life. But there's one very nice quote I heard. It says, you can't change the hand you're dealt, you can't change the cards you're dealt, just how you play the hand. So we would never ask a card dealer to deal us the perfect hand. But, you know, when we associate with devotees or anyone in general, it's like we want perfect places, things, and circumstances, but that's not reality. So my question is that, how do we know when to tolerate a certain situation? Because it's not like we're advocating tolerating domestic abuse or verbal abuse when you're in association with someone. Obviously, that's not the case, because Krishna told Arjuna to remove his obstacles, the Kauravas, that was necessary. But when we're associating with devotees, at what point do we tolerate, and at what point do we try to, you know, seek out better association? Because in the end, everyone's under the laws of material nature. Everyone has these bad materialistic qualities, so you're not going to get the perfect circumstances with no one. So at what point do we tolerate, and at what point do we try to seek better association? Because if we're not getting rid of the demons inside, then It doesn't matter. All the association be bad at some point, you know. Someday our friends could be nice to us, then the next day they're mean, then we want to disassociate with them. So that's my question. How do we distinguish between tolerating and removing ourself from to a better association? So what's the distinguishing factor of that, or how do we determine? Otherwise, we'll always be moving from one place to another. The mind is always taking us this circumstance or trying to seek the perfect circumstance, but it's not always, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, to figure it out in our own, to figure out those things on our own is an impossibility. There is a system for being able to navigate through to the process of self-realization, and that system is a Krishna-given system. He is the one who made it, and we have to take it. There is no other choice. There's no other way of being able to go through the whole process and understand all the different circumstances and choices and things like that that we have to do. We have to accept Krishna's process, and Krishna's process is tatpithi pranipatena paripersana sevaya. You have to have guidance of a spiritual master. Now, when the spiritual master guides us, he assigns, he gives us a place, he gives us a place of association, he gives us a situation, a service, he places us in a position that is perfectly orchestrated by Krishna. Once we take Krishna's program, then Krishna arranges for us. You know, so every single circumstance, every single thing is there for a purpose. So if the spiritual master assigned you a service and assigned you to be in a, you know, in a community or among, you know, devotees, then if one goes through that, and in despite of whatever circumstances, one accepts, you know, this is the quota that has been given to me. This is the service, this is the work, this is the position that I've been given, and one accepts that, then all the different circumstances that happens within that space that we've been given, is, you know, meant for our growth. So in the circumstances sometimes may be conflicting, then you tolerate. You know that you have to tolerate and you have to continue your service. And that association, that whole arrangement is basically given by the spiritual master. So in other words, what I like to address what you ask is like guidance. That's what we need. If we try to figure it out on our own, it's basically an impossibility. We need the guidance of a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, and that's how we receive the situation. In the situation that is not clear to us, to have the direct guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we're taking guidance from Srila Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada is, you know, the Shiksha Guru of all of us. So Prabhupada explains, you know, to properly understand, you know, Prabhupada's instructions then, and to follow Prabhupada's instructions, which is part of that, one has to connect to one of his representatives. And then, you know, it's easy to ascertain You know, you still have to go through the whole ordeal and the work of, you know, practicing humility, tolerance, respect, trinara pisunitena, that whole principle. You still have to go through that. Because we have to, we're placed in a community of devotees, and we have to learn how to relate with each other based on these principles: humility, tolerance, and respect. And you know, try to diminish the influence of our false ego. So the spiritual master gives you the association that you need, and within that association we learn to tolerate, because most of us will go into the process of, you know, purification. And when you have several people, you know, interacting together, sometimes I can step in your toe like that. So then we tolerate each other, you know, like that. No.
Thank you. You answered my question. The answer is pretty obvious to me, but maybe you could briefly elaborate on it. So when we're praying for the Lord to remove our obstacles, like I said, you answered my question, like the demigods are praying to remove the demons, but from a comparative point of view, what's more important? Obviously, it's obvious to me, when we pray to the Lord, that's one of the aspects of devotional service that may not be emphasized, vandana. Like, should we pray to remove our obstacles from the inside, or does the general tendency to remove our obstacles on the outside? Please remove person, places, things. So the answer is obvious to me, but
maybe from the inside it's obvious.
But usually that's not the tendency. When we're in some circumstance, we just react, Lord, please remove my external obstacles. How do we maintain that mentality when we're in circumstances? You know, it's the tendency is just react. Oh, we may not pray directly to the Lord, but we wish or something, we remove our external obstacles. So how do we maintain that mentality, you know, in a circumstance, in the storm? Should we pray before we're in the storm, or what?
Yeah, you can pray, just like Ajendra, pray initially for removing the external obstacle, and then as he's going deeper into that prayer and into the devotional part, he then, you know, realize that whatever, that external obstacle becomes, actually what he was praying was for an eternal connection to him. So what we want to eliminate is the unwanted things within the heart. You know, the process is an art and ivriti. You know, things within the heart is not things outside. The things outside is, you know, you can't eliminate obstacles in this material world. It's designed to be full of obstacles. Dukkhalayana Sashvatam. The thing that, the growth that we have, the change that happens in us, is how we relate to the world. You know, that the all the fluctuations of this world don't affect us, either in happiness or distress. We're not, because that's the nature of the world. And this moment is, you know, really nice, and now it's not, you know, and then miserable, and the obstacles, you know, things are going smooth, all of a sudden, boom, big obstacles out of the blue. And then what do? So when one becomes, you know, elevated in Krishna consciousness, the things don't affect us. So ultimately, we're really praying from removal of these unwanted things. And the first thing is to become aware of those unwanted things. And they pray. In general, we may become distracted just by external things. And that's, you know, that's a lower stage of awareness, of consciousness. when we just see just the external things. But a much more higher, you know, awareness is when you start to see the things within ourselves that is the actual problem, that is the unwanted things. And then we can pray directly to the Lord to kindly eliminate those or help us eliminate those. So, anything else? Marcel?
You mentioned that the demons get sent to the Brahmajyoti effulgence when they are liberated. Is it then possible for them to fall down back into the material world and have a chance to realize Paramatma or Bhagavan?
Yeah, yeah. In general, people who enter the who receive that Brahman effulgence liberation, that Sayuja Mukti, they fall down. They come back to the world. But they, when they come back, you know, they're transcendentalists. They have some realization, you know. They have realization of the spiritual. So they take birth in a situation that allows them to continue to that. But that could take, you know, millions of lives too. Bahunam jammana ante jnanavan man prapadyante. That after thousands and thousands of life, one who comes to the final destination of knowledge, then one realizes then the personal aspect. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Krishna, the son of Vasudev, is everything. So they do fall down from that position. They fall down from that position because it is explained they don't acknowledge the personal feature of the Lord. So it's incomplete. So in other words, to really be free from the material world, you have to have complete realization of the absolute truth to be able to enter back into the absolute, into the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Yes.
In regards to the levels of realization, we were learning in the Bhakti Shastri class that, I guess I'm asking if I have the right understanding, is that the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan realizations are, they're realized in stages, progressive stages. So first you would be Brahman realized, then Paramatma realized, then Bhagavan realized. Is that a correct understanding?
Say that again.
That the stages of realization are progressive.
Progressive. Yes.
First
yes.
This step, then this step.
I heard something from Srila Prabhupada. He says, I don't remember the reading. He says that that one who has Brahman realization have no understanding of the potencies of the Lord. No understanding of his potencies. Is it? Yeah. No understanding of his potencies. And one who have, so, you know, understanding of it's an understanding of the absolute truth, but with no understanding of the potencies of the absolute truth. And then Paramatma is have some understanding of the potencies. How it goes? They say have something like that. Let me try it. Where did I read that? Yeah, let me see here. It's very interesting. I think it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so, let me see if I find it very quick. It is, it's, so what I find that is, it is a, anyway, I find that I share with you. Let me look very last quickly. Can find it, but something like that. Basically, yeah, it's not complete. It's progressive. So, like I said before, that one I remembered. You know, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So, each Paramatma contains both Sat and Chit, and Bhagavan contains the three. So, you know, it's progressively more complete, like that. So in general, the first understanding that you have, or the first connection that you have, is with the potencies of the Lord, the energies of the Lord, the energies. So so you have the yogis, then now he understands the source of that, you know, from the Paramatma. But you know, there is no relationship. There's no. It's basically, you have a sense that there's a source beyond the potencies, the energy. There's a source, and that source, you know, is the personality of God within the heart. So you have a sense of, you know, oh, there's someone in there. There's a person. But you haven't established, you know, that full relationship or connection. But what happens is that once they realize, once they come to the full realization of the Paramatma, then in general, then they see the personality of Godhead. It is explained that, you know, in the passage of Narada Muni, before he was Narada Muni, when he meditating in the Paramatma, then when he was able to realize Paramatma, then he saw the Lord within the heart, and then he was in ecstasy, and then when he opens his eyes, there he is, and then disappear. And same with Dhruva Maharaj. He had that realization. So in general, once you come to that realization of Paramatma, then bam, then the personality of Godhead, and then, you know, you establish that attraction and that connection, you know, and you see all the beautiful features that is described here. So the effulgence, then you're able to see crystal clear the form of the Lord, and once you have seen the form of the Lord, then immediately you're fully attracted, and then that's how bhakti starts, you know, and that's when you enter into the blissful condition of the, you know, that full realization. So yeah, right. Thank you. Karantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.